When the lights go out, they speak. The vanished, the cursed, the cruel. Their echoes live here. I'm Raven Vale, and you've just crossed the threshold. Welcome to Whispers from the Dark. The Cassidy Rainwater Phenomenon, a descent into the dark web. From the deepest shadows, where secrets fester and unspeakable acts echo through the silence, I welcome you. Tonight on Whispers from the Dark, we journey deep into the heart of Missouri, to a tale so depraved, so chilling, that it defies easy comprehension. It's a story that unravels like a nightmare, each revelation more horrifying than the last, leaving a lingering stain on the very soul of the Ozarks. We're talking, of course, about the Cassidy Rainwater phenomenon. The name Cassidy Rainwater is etched into the collective consciousness of those who follow true crime, a name synonymous with unimaginable brutality and a case that shook a quiet rural community to its core. This isn't just a missing person's case. It's a descent into an abyss of human depravity, a journey that led investigators to dark web whispers, hidden horrors, and a burning property that seemed to try and bury its secrets in ashes. Cassidy Rainwater, a 33-year-old mother, was first reported missing in August of 2021 by a concerned friend who hadn't seen her in weeks. She was known to be transient, often staying with various acquaintances as she tried to get her life back on track. This made her disappearance at first less immediately alarming to some, perhaps dismissed as another chapter in a life lived on the fringes. But for those who knew her, a knot of unease began to tighten. The last person she was reliably seen with was a man named James Phelps, who resided in a secluded property near Lebanon, Missouri. His rural homestead, nestled among the winding back roads and dense woods that characterize much of the Ozarks, seemed an unlikely setting for the horrors that were soon to be unearthed. When questioned by authorities, Phelps offered a seemingly plausible, if somewhat vague, explanation. He claimed Cassidy had been staying with him temporarily, but had abruptly left for Colorado about a month prior. A common enough story for someone with a transient lifestyle. It might have even been enough to deflect suspicion, at least for a while. But the wheels of justice, though often slow, were beginning to turn, set in motion by a force far more insidious than simple suspicion, a force that operates in the digital underworld. The digital scream and the dark web's embrace. The true horror of Cassidy Rainwater's fate wasn't uncovered through conventional investigative techniques, nor through a confession extracted under pressure from local law enforcement. Instead, it arrived like a digital scream from the deepest, darkest reaches of the internet. The FBI, through an anonymous cyber tip, received a series of photographs. Photographs that would tear open the polite facade of rural life and reveal a monstrous reality. These images, labeled simply Cassidy, were beyond disturbing. They depicted a woman, immediately recognizable as Cassidy Rainwater, partially nude and confined within a cage. The initial shock of seeing a human being treated like an animal, caged and vulnerable, was quickly overshadowed by the sickening implications. But these initial images, as horrifying as they were merely the prelude to an even greater terror. Subsequent photos revealed Cassidy's body, bound to a gantry crane, a device typically used for processing wild game, hoisted as if she were a deer being readied for butchering, undergoing evisceration and dismemberment. The sheer, premeditated savagery captured in these digital snapshots was almost incomprehensible. It spoke not of a crime of passion, but of a calculated, almost industrial approach to violence, a cold, methodical process of dehumanization and destruction. The discovery of these images, particularly the chilling detail of her body being dismembered, quickly shifted the investigation from a missing persons case to a murder inquiry of the most heinous kind. The implications were immediate and terrifying. Who could do such a thing? And why would they document it in such gruesome detail, then distribute it, even anonymously? The act of photographing the dismemberment and then sharing those images pointed to a perverse desire for spectacle, for control, or perhaps for profit. This is where the whispers began to speak of the dark web. While official reports often don't explicitly detail every aspect of a dark web investigation for obvious reasons of security and ongoing law enforcement tactics, the initial anonymous tip strongly suggested a connection to this hidden corner of the internet. The sheer nature of the crime and the visual evidence pointed towards a horrifying trade. The buying and selling of human remains, or even the grotesque spectacle of murder itself, online. The dark web, a hidden segment of the internet accessible only with specific software, is a haven for illicit activities, a marketplace for the forbidden, the illegal, and the unspeakable. Rumors, which are often the lifeblood of true crime narratives, quickly circulated that Cassidy Rainwater's meat, as the horrifying term began to be used in hushed tones by those who learned of the case, was being offered for sale on these illicit online marketplaces. The idea that human flesh could be marketed and traded like any other commodity on a digital black market sent a visceral shockwave through the public. While law enforcement has never definitively confirmed the active sale of her remains, the existence of the photos and the manner in which they were circulated led many to believe that this was indeed the intended purpose. The very notion sent a shiver down the spines of even seasoned investigators. That a human life could be reduced to a commodity, a macabre trophy traded in the shadows. This element, more than almost any other, highlighted the unfathomable depths of depravity involved, hinting at a hidden underworld far more disturbing than most could imagine. Unearthing the horrors, the freezers of Lebanon. Armed with these horrific images and the initial lead on James Phelps, law enforcement descended upon his property in Lebanon, Missouri. What they found there only confirmed their darkest fears and added new layers to the unfolding horror. The secluded, rural nature of the property, which once offered Phelps anonymity, now served as a desolate stage for his monstrous acts. The search of Phelps' rural property was meticulous and extensive, lasting for days. It was a scene straight out of a horror film, a macabre tableau that would haunt the investigators who processed it. They discovered the very gantry crane seen in the chilling photographs, its cold metal frame a stark, undeniable testament to the unspeakable acts that had occurred there. The presence of such a specific, purpose-built piece of equipment spoke volumes about the premeditation and methodical nature of the crime. And then, the freezers. Not just one, but multiple, strategically placed across the property, almost as if part of a gruesome storage operation. Inside these freezers, investigators found what appeared to be human flesh, chillingly labeled with a date, July 24th. This date aligned with the approximate time Cassidy Rainwater was last seen, a chilling timestamp on her final moments. Later, DNA tests would confirm that these grotesque contents were indeed the remains of Cassidy Rainwater. Skeletal remains were also discovered on an adjoining property, further cementing the horrific reality of her dismemberment and disposal, suggesting a spread of the crime scene that indicated a larger, more complex operation. The presence of multiple freezers and the careful packaging of the remains suggested a deliberate, organized effort, not a spontaneous act of violence born of momentary rage. It raised immediate, terrifying questions about the possibility of other victims, a chilling suggestion that this might not have been an isolated incident. Was this a regular practice for Phelps? Were there other packages in other freezers waiting to be discovered, or perhaps already dispatched to unseen buyers on the dark web? While officials largely stated that no evidence of other victims linked to Phelps and his accomplice was found at that time, the unsettling question lingers in the minds of many. How could such an elaborate and gruesome operation be limited to a single victim? The methodical nature, the equipment, the multiple storage units, it all screamed of a more extensive, perhaps ongoing, series of atrocities. The second man and a trucker's terrors. The investigation quickly zeroed in on a second man, Timothy Norton. Through a search of Phelps's electronic devices, including his cell phone, chilling messages were uncovered. These messages, exchanged between Phelps and Norton, explicitly discussed their plans to kill Cassidy Rainwater on July 24th. The digital breadcrumbs led directly to Norton, and when confronted, he confessed, adding yet another layer of horror to the already gruesome narrative. Norton's confession painted an even more vivid and sickening picture of the events of that terrible day. He stated that Phelps had asked him to come over and help with the murder, a casual request for an act of unfathomable evil. He recounted how, while Cassidy was sleeping on the living room floor, unsuspecting and vulnerable, they attacked her. Norton admitted to holding her legs down while Phelps strangled her, placing a bag over her head, a calculated act to smother her last breaths. He then described assisting Phelps in the dismemberment of her lifeless body, the cold, clinical details of the process confirming the earlier photographic evidence. The details were visceral, leaving no room for doubt about the intentional and brutal nature of the crime, and revealing a chilling partnership in depravity. Timothy Norton, a man who had seemingly lived an ordinary life, including a career as a truck driver, now stood accused of aiding in an act of unimaginable cruelty. The truck driver detail, in particular, sparked widespread speculation and ignited a pervasive fear across the nation. Truck drivers, by the nature of their work, traverse vast distances, often alone, moving goods across state lines and through countless small towns and major cities. This mobility, in the darkest of contexts, can be a terrifying advantage for a predator, allowing them to cross jurisdictions, dispose of evidence, and remain elusive. The question arose, was Norton involved in other disappearances, other murders, utilizing his profession to transport victims or evade detection across Missouri and beyond? The idea of a truck driver serial killer is a known profile in law enforcement, a deeply unsettling archetype, and the chilling similarities in this case fueled fears that Cassidy Rainwater was not their only victim, despite official statements. While no definitive links to other cases have been publicly established for Norton, the sheer brutality and methodical nature of Rainwater's murder, coupled with his profession and access to various locations, ignited this deeply unsettling theory in the public consciousness. Flames and foreboding, a crime scene ablaze. As the investigation continued, with the property becoming a sprawling crime scene under constant scrutiny by multiple law enforcement agencies, another bizarre and highly suspicious event occurred. The very property belonging to James Phelps, the scene of such profound horror, burned to the ground. This wasn't some accidental blaze, a chance fire in a remote area. The fire was deemed suspicious, and what investigators found amidst the wreckage only deepened the mystery and heightened suspicion, adding an almost theatrical element to an already nightmarish scenario. Critically, on the scene of the fire, a Dallas County sheriff was present, overseeing the ongoing processing of the extensive crime scene. The fire, therefore, occurred not in some remote, unsupervised location, but under the watchful eyes of law enforcement. Yet despite this presence, the property ignited, consuming potential evidence in its inferno. This raised immediate and urgent questions. How could this happen with a sheriff on site? Was it an act of desperation, an attempt by an accomplice to destroy remaining evidence that they feared had been overlooked? Or was it something even more sinister, a message, perhaps, from someone still at large, a warning to those who dared to delve too deeply into their twisted world? The perceived security breach at an active crime scene was a major point of concern and public scrutiny. Further examination of the burned-out property revealed unsettling details that confirmed the deliberate nature of the inferno. Multiple tripwires and live incendiary devices were discovered. This wasn't an act of spontaneous arson. It was a carefully planned, booby-trapped attempt to obliterate the scene and potentially harm anyone investigating further. The presence of these devices, coupled with the fire, strongly suggested an attempt to cover up tracks, to silence the secrets held within that desolate stretch of Missouri land. It screamed of an ongoing criminal enterprise, a network of individuals, or at the very least, a singular perpetrator, desperate to bury the truth and protect whatever further horrors lay hidden. The fire, rather than erasing the past, merely intensified the questions surrounding the case. The burning of the house, while frustrating for investigators who were still meticulously collecting evidence that could have provided further insight into the full scope of Phelps's activities, perhaps inadvertently revealed the true depth of the fear and desperation of those involved. It confirmed that there were still secrets to protect, still threads to snip, even as the walls closed in around Phelps and Norton. It implied that the horror was not contained to just two men, but potentially extended into a wider, more shadowy network. A haunting aftermath. In the end, after a protracted legal process that saw the community of Lebanon, Missouri, and indeed the entire state, gripped by the unfolding details, both James Phelps and Timothy Norton were charged with first-degree murder, kidnapping, and abandonment of a corpse. Their heinous acts, meticulously documented and chillingly confessed, left no doubt as to their guilt. In April 2023, James Phelps entered an Alford plea, a legal maneuver allowing him to acknowledge that the prosecution had enough evidence to convict him without admitting personal guilt. He was sentenced to life in prison without parole, ensuring he would never again walk free to inflict such terror upon society. Timothy Norton, in June 2023, faced his own reckoning, pleading guilty to first-degree murder and receiving the same devastating sentence. Justice, in a grim and terrible sense, was served for Cassidy Rainwater, though no sentence can truly undo the horrors she endured. But the Cassidy Rainwater phenomenon leaves behind more than just a closed case file and two men behind bars. It leaves a deep, indelible scar on the psyche of a community, A chilling reminder of the darkness that can lurk beneath the veneer of everyday life in even the most serene rural landscapes. The whispers from the dark continue, asking questions that still haunt those who followed the case. How many more dark web transactions of human remains are occurring undetected in the digital shadows? How many more seemingly ordinary individuals harbor such monstrous capabilities, capable of planning and executing such calculated acts of brutality? And perhaps most disturbingly, how can a sheriff be on sight while a crucial crime scene burns to the ground, potentially destroying vital evidence and leaving unanswered questions in its wake? The case of Cassidy Rainwater is a stark warning, a chilling glimpse into the abyss of human cruelty and the hidden corners of the internet where unimaginable depravities thrive. It is a story that compels us to look closer, to question more deeply, and to acknowledge that some horrors exist beyond the realm of easy explanation or understanding. The echoes of her suffering and the unspeakable acts committed against her will forever resonate in Whispers from the Dark. Thank you for joining me tonight on Whispers from the Dark. We navigate these chilling tales not for sensationalism, but to understand the darkness that sometimes creeps into our world, and perhaps to find a way to shed a little light into those shadows. Until next time, stay vigilant and listen closely to the whispers.